good news from you. I pray their hearts be open to know that we need to be renewed day by day. We need to renew our thoughts and renew our mind and renew our spirit every day, because we get stronger on the inside. We need to use that today. We need to have that and enjoy that and claim that. Church, listen to what I'm telling you. We need to claim God's goodness for today. You need to claim it, because this is the day that He made for you. Let's not waste it. So, Lord, thank you for everybody in attendance. Thank you for hearts and spirits, Lord. I pray that they receive your word, and when they leave this church this morning, they are stronger in you, and they are hungrier for you, and, Lord, they just simply love you more. That's the greatest gift we can share. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Deep breathing, deep breathing, deep breathing.
want something just a little different today than you have, amen? Then you want it, then you got to claim it, then you got to talk to who? And talk to me, you talk to God. You follow God, you follow man, and we're going to get in. I'm so excited. Everybody say hi to Miss Dale. She's coming in the door. Sister Dale, there she is. Call me crazy or call me anything you want, but I love saying hi to people and having that feeling. Welcome back. That's one of my favorite songs of all time, Deacon Sergio. That song, Welcome Back. Doesn't that make you feel good? Just that alone. Just seeing Brave this morning made me feel good, you see? And I know, honey, I'm sorry. And that's what going to church is all about. That says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself to lift each other up. To pray for one another. That's how important this place becomes. That's how, are you ready? Essential this place is. Walk on faith, Reagan, eh?
And this is God calling us to come together. And I have joy in my heart.
heart for you all being here this morning. So I'm going to ask you all to stand and sing one more song. If you would do that with us, it's called I Surrender All. Sing with us.
I prayed for, but you still got more prayers going on, so you got to remember. Read it again. Please read that again. Bless the Lord of my soul and forget not all his benefits. Read that, church. Hallelujah. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, in my heart. Marilyn, you did it again. I didn't find that one. I was looking for renewed, and I've forgotten that one. So, Marilyn, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is what, church? What is the word? So you have new, and then you have what? You have to do it again. What is it called? Renew. That's awesome. God is so good. Forget not all his benefits. You, how many got children? You got grandchildren? You've been praying for your kids all these years, and your kids are doing all right now. So you forgot 9 million prayers that you had. You prayed for yourself. You prayed for work. You prayed for food. You prayed for money. And here you sit this morning all dressed up, and everything is going better than it was. And God has taken you to this point. He's not going to leave you now. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But one thing your pastor is really just devoted to, and this month, it's just for whatever reason, it's been on my heart. It says that who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. How many diseases? That means all. That means I'm not going to stop short. If you got a cold, I'm going to pray for you. Your cold's going to get better. Or if you got this or that, I'm going to pray. Oh, I got a bad shoulder. I'm talking about diseases here. Amen. We got people in this church who need prayer and need God to touch them now. So I'm standing, and I need people to pray with me who will believe like I believe, that because the Bible says that, I'm going to stand on it and stand on it as long as I can in faith. Amen. But you all got a responsibility too. You all need to pray. I want somebody who'll say, Pastor, I'll fast this week. I'll fast from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock every day this week. Whatever it takes, I will pray for the sick. And I want you to call people and say that I'm praying for you. Elder, I love you so much. What you wrote to me those questions a couple of weeks ago, it made my heart sore. I mean, I got into that Bible, turned the pages because of you. You blessed my life, and I want to bless your life. But I want God to touch you. I want to bless you with a smile like you just had. But I need God to touch you. We need to have testimonies of great things. Amen? How many know that, what I'm talking about? A church should be full of great testimonies. How many have ever had something prayed for that God answered? Come on, everybody's hands got to be up. Sometimes you feel like he didn't answer you. He didn't hear you, but that's crazy, because you got to remember all the things and remember that he has the what? He has the final answer, David. And his final answer is greater than any one of your answers. He said, he told that man on the cross, what did he say? Today you will be with me where?
Paradise.
Those people that we love, that we lost, guess where they are? Where are they? They don't want to come back. I guarantee you, the second they were over there, tasted all that beautiful stuff, they said, I ain't going back. Somebody asked me once, you think my mother looks down from heaven and sees me? I said, maybe, but why would you want her to see if you're struggling or if you're in pain or if you don't feel good? She's in paradise right now. She knows you're coming. Can you imagine that? She's at a party so beautiful, and she knows, your family knows you're coming. And so when we pray, we just got to understand God. But I believe, as I'm standing here alive today, that we have every chance for God to perform a miracle. And I believe in miracles because this book tells us so. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got off on that one. Marilyn, that was great. He renews your youth like an eagle's. Well, who wants to be like an eagle? I don't know. We do quizzes on Sunday now. I give a three quiz questions, multiple choice quizzes. But I got to ask you, don't look at Dave, because he knows all the answers. I used to think it was Gene, but I'm not sure anymore. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Dolores, did you ever think you'd go to a church and hear people laughing? Anybody ever go? I grew up going to St. Mary's Church. My mother brought me there. I thank my mother every single day that she brought me to that church. Even though they spoke in Latin, I didn't get anything. But I was glad to go for her. But I'm telling you, if somebody next to me was laughing, they'd have hit them on the head and said, we need to leave now. There's nothing funny going on in church. I know there's a lot of joy going on in church. What does Paul warn the Philippians? Now, Paul writes a letter to the Philippians and he warns them. Does he say, A, beware the leaven of the Pharisees? Ooh. Does he say, beware the narrow road? Or does he say, beware of dogs? So what does Paul warn the Philippians? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees? A, B, beware the narrow road. How many say, beware of dogs? This was a really good one. Lord, thank you for this. Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I love this. He said, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Did you get that even? Oh, no. Who said yay? Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are, and he goes on to say, but he says, beware of dogs. He's not talking about the animal. He's talking about people who are going to come attack you. All right. Dave got that one wrong. Now, how many tribes were there in the Israel nation? There are how many tribes? 12 tribes. Each tribe was run by a different man, and they had different callings, each tribe. So I want to ask you, what tribe of the Israel nation did Paul come from? Was Paul a member of the Levi, A, B, Benjamin, or C, Judah? How many? What tribe did Paul come from? Anybody? Levi. We got Levi. Two, Benjamin. B, Benjamin. We got Benjamin. And C, Judah, the tribe of Judah. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Here we go. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Paul said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now, you say, why is that important? Well, the tribe of Benjamin came back to help rebuild the temple. There were two tribes that came back to help rebuild the temple. The Benjamin tribe, the tribe of and Judah came back. Also, the first king of Israel came from what tribe? Benjamin. Hallelujah. So there were other things that were important about that tribe. They were, and they were also, they were considered, they were esteemed by the other 11, the tribe of Benjamin. So that's where Paul came from. How many said Benjamin? We had some winners in the front, all right. The third one, when our bodies are changed, to what will they look at? What will they look like? When you go to heaven and your body is changed, what will we look like? A, like an angel's. B, it's a mystery nobody knows. Or C, like the glorious body of Jesus. What our bodies are changed, what will they look like? Like angels? Anybody? Angels? No? Greg? It's a mystery. Nobody knows what our body's going to look like. Or C, like the glorious body of Jesus. Anybody with the C? Thank you, Lord. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even to subdue all things to himself. So the answer is, like the glorious body of Jesus. Those of you who are quizzed for today, give yourself a nice hand. You did good. How many, Dave? 2 out of 3? You got all 3? You didn't get any? Yes. Anybody get 3 out of 3? Gee, not you either? Yes. How about you, Fred? No. All right. Thank you, Lord. Receive the message today. This message is for you and for me, for my wife, for Walter, for David, for Greg, for Jackie. This is a message that is important for the world to hear. How many know we're under hard times right now? Anybody feel like you're under hard times right now? How many feel pressed in? Feel like there's just nowhere to go, nothing to do, I'm pressed in. Where can I go for help? Where can I go to find relief? That's what we're all feeling. A lot of people feel that way. Up till today, I would tell you all, you've done well. Facing all these trials and tribulations, you have done well, even with all that. doing what you know. How many have places like private getaways? I used to understand that. To me, it was out in the woods. To me, it was going to New York or the Catskills or going fishing was a private getaway. But those things have been taken away from us. How many have lost their private getaways, places they used to go by themselves and feel like some peace? And it's gone right now. And that doesn't help anything. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because you did what you know to do. That's what you did. And you do it in a manner that you know to do. You did it your way. Your habits, your job, you did all that. But you've done well up till today. But sometimes we feel locked in. Anybody, you feel locked in. Sometimes we feel like we lock ourselves in. Sometimes you've locked yourself into what you're dealing with today. And you feel locked in and you don't know where to go and what to do. Thank you, Lord. Though change can be at times be very hard, it could be those changes. Those what? Changes we make that are the greatest changes in our life. You feel pressed in. You all admitted it. You don't have those places to go. You've done everything you can do. You're still feeling like there's nowhere to go. You feel all that pressure. Then something has to what? Change. Thank you, Lord. But here's the thing. You ought to write this down. If you're writing any notes, anybody taking notes today, this is the important thing. The most important thing about this sermon today. How many think that change is good? But here's the bottom line. You got to follow who? God. Not you. Not what you think, but you got to lean on God. You got to do it His way. You got to follow God. Because if you're feeling all this and you don't know where to go and what to do, you got to call on Him. Not yourself. Can I get an amen? You call on God and His help leading for those changes to occur. Why? Well, the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. That's the first thing, Andre. Lean not on your own understanding. That's from who? God. That could be hard. But it also could be so rewarding if you would understand that. How many are feeling down? You feel down over and pressure and you worry and you have all this pressure on you and you're worried. Well, that is, guess what? That's you. That's you today. You're feeling this pressure. You're feeling all the worries. You have no place to go. You're feeling locked in. That's you. Guess what you're doing? Are you ready? You're leaning. You say, Pastor, yeah, you're leaning on what? Your own understanding. You're feeling all this. You don't know where to go, what to do. So you continue to lean on your own understanding. You're leaning. But I tell you this again. I tell you this again and again. God has done so much in all your lives that you can't even start to begin to thank Him. You know how great your day might be today or whatever you're having or all the troubles you're having. You've been troubles before. Anybody ever have troubles 10 years ago? 15 years ago? 20 years ago? Did you have trouble? Anybody pray for your kids when they were born worrying about how they're going to grow up? Oh my God, she's 5 years old. He's 7 years old. What am I going to do? Now the kid is growing up and doing well. Anybody? So all those prayers are what? They're gone. They don't count? Or do you want to count them? Because you want to count them. You want to know that you can lean on the same God who has got you to this point. If anybody's doubting God, then you're forgetting what He has done. You're leaning on what? Your own understanding. Can I have an amen? Thank you, Lord. How many times in this church, and people say I say the same thing a lot, and probably do, but how many times in this church have I told you to do something different? I said, do something different today. Nancy? Elder? Anybody remember how many times I've said, do something different today? Why? Because this is the day that God has made. If He made this day, then don't give it away. Don't do the same thing. Act a little different. Do something. Give Him a chance. You've been playing by the same game all these years, and you've done well, but you've been playing by the same game. Today's a good day to play by another game. Play it with God. Do something different today. Can I get an amen? I'm excited because this is me I'm talking to. I'm talking to my wife. I'm talking to everybody. Do something different. Give God a chance. You're doing the same thing, and you're wondering why things aren't changing. Playing a new game. I have a wonderful friend, believe it or not. I really do. I have a wonderful friend who's lived in Connecticut all his life. Lived in Middlebury. Oh, he's got a beautiful farm in Woodbury. And him and his wife took a trip the other day. It's amazing. It was amazing. it gave me some of this message. And him and his wife took a trip driving over the mountain. They went to Washington. They went to Morris. They drove Washington and Morris all these years. They go up the mountain, look at this, look at that. And guess what he did? You'll never guess what he did. Let me tell you. Can I tell you what he did? He took a turn. Five Our Fathers and two Hail Marys, and I want a good act of contrition. Oh, my God. He took a different turn. He said, let's go down this road. Lived in Woodbury all his life. And he calls me up and am I right, Reen? 30 minutes. Oh, you should have seen what I saw. The farm was beautiful and the land was flat. I couldn't believe it was flat everywhere in Woodbury's hills. And I saw this flat and it was beautiful. And I couldn't believe the grass was great and the trees were beautiful. And I'm thinking, wow. He took one turn. He made one change, and he's talking, oh, I can't wait to go back. And he's bragging about how beautiful the farm is and how beautiful the grass and the trees, and they have this building that they put up for the fruit and for the vegetables, and it's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. 10 miles from his house. And he never saw, and he won't stop telling me, oh, Pat and I are going to go back. Oh, I gave it away. We're going to go back. Because he took one turn different than he ever did. Now and let me tell you, this guy's pretty hard to impress. I love him very much, and he would be the first to tell you. He's got a beautiful farm in Woodbury. All the lawn is beautiful, and the grass and the hosta plants are beautiful. So to impress, he just went on and on. And I said, yeah, because you did one thing. How many things? One thing, different. You took a chance and took a road that you never took before. And 10 miles from your house, you found this place that looked like an oasis. You might have thought it was talking about heaven. It's true, amen. He took a chance. You've mastered the old way. Listen to me, please. Please listen to me. I want you to get it. I'm getting it. You mastered the old way. You got it down really good. You're good complaining about this. You're good talking about this. You're good feeling that way. It's time for a renewal. Can I get an amen? Yeah. You guys warm out there? It is August, you know. Fascinating when people say it's hot today. I say, well, it's August. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. How? Day by day. You're being renewed day by day. Not week by week, month by month, but one at a time. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's what? Old things have passed away. Old things did what? Behold, all things have become new. This man I know took one turn in 10 miles from his house, and he thought he found heaven because he did one thing different. He made a change. Ephesians 4:23, I love this one. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Does anybody understand what the word renewed means? Can I get an amen? You can say amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Flo. Amen. Being renewed. Change. God, I need it. I need to do something different. I tell you that all the time. Do something different. I don't care how simple. If you stop and buy ice cream, if you go down the wrong road, if you just do something with your wife, your husband, your family, your friends, do something different, and then you'll get something different. You'll make a change. God, why do I turn to God? Why God? Because let me tell you, He knows the desires of your heart. How many told God the desires of your heart? I've told Him mine. So He knows your desires. His thoughts are not your thoughts. This is all scripture. I'm not making this up. He says His thoughts are not your thoughts. So don't you want to get His thoughts? Because you sat a long time with whose thoughts? Your thoughts, my thoughts. He said He will direct your paths. He will direct your path. In other words, He will direct what comes in front of you. He's not going to direct the back of your path. He's not going to direct your backyard. Who's He going to direct? He's going to direct your what? Paths. Those things are in front of you. Faith. Anybody know what faith is? Faith is believing and living in what is not seen. I've been praying for Elder Nancy, and I'm going to pray every minute. I've been praying for Brother Mark because I'm praying in faith, thing not seen. The world may say, well, that isn't going to happen. I don't care what you say. I don't care what experts say. I hear a lot of experts on TV telling me what they don't know. I'm telling you what God has said, and I'm going to stand in prayer, and I'm going to stand in faith, and I'm going to pray for that change to happen. Amen. Faith is believing and not seeing. That's what it's saying, thank you before the answer comes. That's faith. When you're praying for something, you're going to have a grandchild pretty soon. You pray for that grandchild and you pray for it and you're believing. And then when it comes, you don't have to pray for that anymore because it's already been done. So your faith is praying for things that you haven't seen. Amen. Sometimes, listen to me. Sometimes we have to ask. Sometimes we have to seek. Sometimes we have to knock. Very good. But any one of those three means you have to do what? Something different. You're asking, you're seeking, you're knocking, so you're doing something different. But with each one of them, we are doing something, some action. If what we want is different, let me say this again. If what you want is different than what you have today, if what you need is change, then you must change too. If I want things different, I need to change to make them. It's not about anybody else but you. We are being renewed. How? Day by day. Thank you, Lord. So I ask you, what did you do for yourself today? What did you do this morning? Same thing? It's early yet. I know. Have you put yourself in a place to receive? This is important too. You're all praying for this stuff, but are you ready to receive it? If something came right now that you've been praying for, would you be ready? Would you say, oh, wait a minute, I need to get this in order and that in order? Then you're not ready. Are you ready to receive? When you buy new furniture, anybody ever bought new furniture? Come on, what did you do with the old furniture? You had to remove it, amen? The furniture is gone because you wanted what? New furniture. You wanted what in your living room? Change. So you had to renew. The old's gone. Amen? Thank you, Lord. When you ask God for help, you must remove the old furniture. In here and in here. When you're asking God to help you, you got to remove what you thought you knew because that game's over. You got to remove what you're feeling because that game's over. You're asking God for a new game today. You're saying, I'm willing to play a new game today. I'm willing to take a turn on a road I've never been on before, and I'm willing to do it and surrender all to do it because the road I'm on, I've been on, and I've done it, and I beat this road up pretty good, and now I need some help. Remember, you will be his testimony. This is so important to me. This is important. Listen to me, please. You're waiting. You're answering. You're asking God. You want to do that change. But whatever you happens, you're going to be his testimony. Do you know what that means? If you ask in God for something and your friends know it happens, and it happens, you're going to tell people what God did for you. You are going to be to his testimony. You're going to tell people how great your God is. You're going to tell people how great God. You see, he's not going to leave you there because he wants you. He wants to be your testimony. If you're not ready, he can't give it to you because you won't be ready, and it won't reflect on him. But everything he gives you is a light coming from him that should reflect back. People should see what you have as a gift from who? God. That's what's so important. You will be his testimony. If you fail, there is no glory. If you said, I couldn't find the job, I didn't find that, there's no glory in that. But that's not how God works. That's not how he is. When you trust him every minute, every day, you give him a chance to do something in your life. You know yourself best. So be honest with yourself. Just be honest with yourself. Thank you, Lord. Almost over. How's everybody doing? All right? This is just, I'm telling you, I did this reading and writing and I kept looking in the mirror. I kept seeing myself. And so you might say to me this morning, Pastor, how do I do it? How do I do it, Pastor? And my answer to you is, I don't know. I'm not in your life. I know what I need to change. I know what I'm looking for. You have to be honest with yourself. See, it's between you and God. Not I'm a go-between. I'm just preaching to you. I'm giving you the energy. I'm giving you the word, and I'm making you hungry, and I'm seeing if I can't get you to turn down a road you've never been on before with God. But I don't know what you need to do. That's between you and God. What I remove may not be the same as what you're going to remove. See, you know yourself best. So I would tell you, to be honest with yourself today. You're in this rut, you feel boxed in, you've done it well, you put yourself there really good. Today is a great day to say, I need to take a step out, do something different. One little thing, this man I'm talking to you about is a beautiful testimony. He took one turn, 10 miles from his house, and God lit this whole light went on. So you want health, anybody wants their health to be better? Well, change the food that you eat. Maybe you're eating too much food. Maybe you're eating the wrong foods. Maybe you're not exercising enough. Maybe you're not drinking enough water. I don't know what the answer is. But here's the truth. You know what you need. I know what I need. I know I need to walk more and exercise more for my hips, for my legs. I know the change I need to make, but I don't know what yours is. But if you want to make one, it's there to make. People go to work. Anybody have a job and go to work? Well, change your habits. You got habits at work. You show up at the same time. You dress the same way. Your attitude's the same way. Well, maybe tomorrow on Monday you can have a new attitude. Dress up a little bit. Have something. Learn more at work so that all of a sudden there's light on you. Dress up a little bit. Put a little extra effort in it. And all of a sudden you say to your people, look and say, that person has, are you ready? Changed. Oh, he looks at it. She or she, so smart. They know the answer. I'm going to go to that person for the answer because they learn and they are smart, and that's another change. And all of a sudden, you feel like things are changing at work, and all you did was have a different attitude. Amen? Show up on time. Be ready for work. Have an attitude of, how you doing? People will notice. In a relationship, people want to find a relationship. I say, great. Maybe you need to change the way you dress. Don't dress to impress because that's just the outside. But maybe you need to just dress a little better. Talk a little. Maybe you need to smile. Maybe you need to have more confidence. So if you had God in your life and you believe that God's in your life, you might have more confidence. And people will see that confidence. Maybe you need more compassion in your life. Anybody ever think of that? Maybe you need to forgive somebody. Maybe you need to be ready to receive forgiveness yourself and to let it go. Ready to receive, ready to forgive. Those are changes that could be made. And family relationships, oh Lord, the church family, my goodness. How many know no church is perfect? Can I get an amen? How many, I don't care what church you go to, there's going to be people over here who disagree with people over here. But why do you go to church? For Jesus. Why do you go to church? To hear the message. Why do you go to church? To be with your family. Has anybody ever disagreed with your mother, your father, your brother, your sister? Anybody? What's up with that? So why can't we just disagree to agree to disagree? Why do everybody think you have to get along on every single thing? Because we're stronger when we disagree. When we disagree and we listen to each other, we might learn something, and that's change too. To be able to listen to somebody. To be able to say, you know, I don't agree with you, but let's talk about it. Maybe there's something in what you're saying, there's some truth in it. Amen? That's change. Lord, help us. No church is perfect. But I'm telling you that everybody in this church, you look around now, please look around. Everybody in this church loves you. Fred, everybody loves Fred. Everybody. So when you pass by this church, if you decide, oh, I'm going to go somewhere else, you pass by a church, a building where everybody in that church loves you. Why would you think about anything else? Why? Because you disagree with something? That's not, I'm telling you, I was in Grace at Vessels 15 years. Greg knows, you saw me there. I don't know how many times I'd go home and tell Edgar, my roommate, that I'm leaving, I'm done with this place. They don't acknowledge me, they don't talk to me, they don't nothing. They don't let me sing. They have a big show and I can't sing. They got all these people singing. Oh my God, they don't ask me to go to Otis. He's got a cabin, I'm never invited. I can't tell you how many times I told Edgar, I'm done with here. And then we'd look at each other and say, but we're doing it for God. Oh yeah, I forgot. So I want God to lift me up. Because if I left, it would have been fine with them. They'd have called me and say, we miss you, but that would have been it. But I wanted God to lift me up. I want to do it God's way. See, I want to do God's timing. And that was important to me. I had people around me saying, I wouldn't stay there. I said, I know, but I'm doing it for God. You see, it was about me. Just like today is about you. Pastor, what do I do? I don't know. But they didn't know me. They didn't know my heart and how long I wanted to be serving God, my life to change. And if I left it, exactly what I've learned, how I would have learned how to do, change, leaving, just moving on because this ain't right. Family relationships. Don't expect. Don't demand. Call somebody. Ask about their lives. Imagine that. Forgive. Acknowledge that you may need to be forgiven. Don't hold grudges. That's God's love. He doesn't hold any grudges. Thank you, Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. He doesn't hold any grudges. He doesn't make any demands on you. He loves you. And that's family. That's what we should be loving one another. Those are changes. Hallelujah. Don't hold grudges. Change. Church is the same way. Church is the same way. We need to change. We need to pray more. We need to fast. We need to have people who are going to believe and different parts of departments of people taking care of things. We have this coffee social on Sundays. We need somebody to say, hey, do you got any plates down there? Let me see about plates. Somebody else can say, hey, maybe I can bring some donuts. Somebody else can say, maybe I can help carry the table out. We need people to help. The church is so important. This is your church. So maybe you could just reach out and pray with somebody. Heaven knows, maybe you could call somebody once in a while. Say, hey, Pat and George, we miss you. We love you. Lift them up. That's our job. And then when they come back, like Mark and Sandy, we rejoice. When Jackie comes today, we rejoice because they're here with us today. Another prayer answered. Amen? What are you waiting for? Again, I tell you, please, please, I beg you, allow other people to disagree with you. Please. I know the Yankees are the greatest team in baseball history ever made. I know. But if somebody wants to disagree, I allow that. Fritza.
Go Mets.
Go Mets. That's another thing today I maybe think about. I'm going to off track here. Mickey Mantle was my idol. And I was 10 years old, 12 years old. He was my guy. I didn't know that he drank. I didn't know he had a drinking problem. I don't know how he treated people. I don't know what he did after the game. I just know when I saw number 7, my heart was just, when I went to the stadium, Daddy take me, and I saw him hit a home run. It was the greatest day of my life. Never forget that stuff. But he was my idol as a child. But I have one idol now. His name is Jesus. I have one idol who has given me all that I have in my life today. Mickey never gave it to me. Jeter never gave it to me. Posada never gave it to me. But Jesus has given it to me. And he's given it to you. So I see these wonderful people living in a nation, one nation under God. I see these people playing a game with a round ball that I played with all my young life. And the person playing the game would not work for $300,000 a year. That's not enough money. Anybody here turn down $300,000 a year to work 6 months out of the year? No. And then they wouldn't work for $800,000 a year. It's not enough money. In America. No other nation. There's no other nation that happens to. And then they won't play, are you ready? For $2 million a year. I'm sorry, Greg. I know I'm going off in opinion. I'm trying to fight my way back. But I'm just saying that these people in the greatest nation on the earth that God created, they wouldn't touch the ball for $2 million a year. They wouldn't even consider it. Anybody here make $2 million last year? Where's all the hands now? You see how God answers? Everybody thinks their life is hard. They've gone through lots of hard times. Anybody here ever have a hard time? Well, praise the Lord. But you made it through. I mean, nobody here makes $4 million a year. So we still got work to do, evidently. Hello, the church. Be ready to help your brother and your sister. Be ready to call them. Help each other. Think of each other. And don't expect, don't demand. Say something good every day. Husbands and wives, please, please don't say the same thing that upsets your partner or your family. Don't say it. Change. Say, I love you and mean it. Say, let's do something. Just say something good today, something different today, and let something else good happen. Your words matter. Uh-oh, he didn't say that, didn't he? That's another thing. Maybe we'll paint that out in front of it. No, don't start. Your words matter. They matter everywhere. They matter in your life, with your boss, with your church, with your family, with your friends. Let me close with this today. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus is saying this to you today. He is saying this to me today. He is saying this to Second Congregational in Derby, Connecticut. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, you know that's who you are. And I will give you rest. He will give you what? Rest. Understand that word. Remember that word. Because you'll understand. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's the word rest twice in one paragraph from Jesus. He said the same thing twice in one paragraph. Why? Because he wants you to do what? Rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Lord. Someone with more pulling power is up front helping. Suddenly you're not participating in life's responsibilities. You're alone. You're participating with a great partner. And now that frown can turn into a smile, and that grip into a song, that gripe into a song. If you just realize and listen to what he's saying to you, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden. That's all of us under this pressure. And I will give you rest. The first key to healing, the first key is be at peace. So he's going to give you rest. He means get away from leaning. You've been leaning too long. He's saying, don't lean. Don't lean. Just stand and I will give you rest. Stand with me. Lean with me. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He just said, learn from me. He said, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This message was as much for me as anybody else. My friend Lou Berry took one turn, 10 miles from his house, one change, and he found something that he can't stop talking about, sharing with everybody. Deacon Jim, if you talk to him, I guarantee you he'll talk to you about it. The land was flat. I don't believe it. The grass was beautiful. The barns were beautiful. The trees were beautiful. He could almost see it from his house, but he didn't know it was there. I'm telling you, outside, maybe you can't see it, but it's there. That change. Whatever age you are, whatever you're doing, he wants to remove your burdens. He wants to take away your fear and your worry. He said, all just renew your strength. Like an eagle, Marilyn. God, good bless you. Renew your spirit inside. Do it today. Now you can leave here today and forget everything I said. You can do that. You have the right to do that. But I pray you don't. I pray that it starts to think about it. And you start to think about all that you do, that you're leaning in, all the boxes that you put yourself in. Say, maybe I want something different. If you don't, God is happy with you either way. He loves you, but he's got a plan that's not your plan. And the only way to find it is to lean towards him and change. Give him praise, Lord. The thing is, I can't do it for you, but I can pray for you. Amen? We can only help one another as far as the person will let us help them. We can only lift you up so high. God takes you the rest of the way. I'm telling you, he does answer. He's answered more times than you even remember. That's our beautiful God. That's our beautiful Jesus. But trust in him today. I surrender all. So Jesus was in heaven, amen? He created everything on earth, him, the Holy Spirit, and his Father. Everything's pretty good. Jesus made how many changes? One. What did he do? He came here. For who? For us. He did it once. He made a change. He left heaven. He left his Father's side and came here for us. He made a change. And that one change that he made has saved us forever. Ever and ever. Everlasting life with him for one change that he made. And all he's asking us today, all he's asking all of us is to do this, what we're going to do, in remembrance of what he did for us. That one change that he made that changed our lives forever. In Jesus' name I believe. Take it and receive the bread of life. The bread wasn't enough.
wasn't quite done yet. He made an agreement. He just said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins," as he poured the wine into a cup. The sacrifice once for all. Leaving his father's side, he made that change. And he made that one change for us, that we can have every promise in that book. Every promise belongs to you and belongs to me, because you made one change and accepted him in your heart. Now he's asking you to lean on him, trust in him, follow him, and just have faith in him this morning. Lord, remove the iniquities of this week. Any attitudes, any words, anything, Lord, that separated us from you. Help us to cleanse our spirit this morning in our hearts, to receive this life, to receive this new life, this new change in us. As we do this, Lord, we have a chance. This is the day you made. We have this chance. We have a chance to do greater things and testimonies that we can't keep to ourselves with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, he said to do this in remembrance of him. Told a story years ago. Couldn't find it in the Bible. I apologize, but I read a story once where John was leaning on Jesus. There's a Bible where they called John the one whom Jesus loved, the disciple. But it showed that the Bible talked about John leaning on his breast. And it said that the other disciples said to Jesus, "Why do you let him lay his head on your breast? Why do you let him do all that?" And he said, "Because he wanted to. Because he wanted to." That's the way God is this morning. He's waiting because he wants to. He's got the paths ready. It says he's going to make the path for you. He's ready, waiting for you to step out in it. Waiting for you to step out in faith and say, "I'm going to do better. I'm going to help my sickness. I'm going to do something against that sickness today. One thing, I'll make one change, because I'm learning from my pastor in the Bible that one change can cause another, which causes another, which causes things the world doesn't understand. But God does. We call on God. I call on Jesus in all your lives that you will see this and enjoy this message, because it's for all of us to have more prosperity and success and health and all these things that we hold up and look to God for. He's ready. He's just asking you to step out. Take that step. Let go of all the things that you've been good at and take one step out. You know where you need to go. I know where I need to go. I pray for this church. I pray for this body and for those here and for those who aren't here today. I pray for them. We miss them. We pray for them to come home like the lost sheep. I believe that. Thank you, Lord, for this glorious day. It is the day you made, and we have our hands to do what you called us to do. In Jesus' name, give him praise this morning.